Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello and welcome. My name is Jerry Houston from Pride Radio on iHeartRadio. This June is a big month in the HIV epidemic and our country's response. In fact, this month marks 40 years since the first CDC report about the virus that became known as AIDS. To help us understand what that means for all of us in this country, I'm pleased to welcome two guests today. The first is Harold Phillips, who is with the Office of Infectious Disease and HIV/AIDS Policy at the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. In the HHS Office of the Assistant Secretary for Health, Harold serves as the Senior HIV Advisor and Chief Operating Officer of Ending the HIV Epidemic in the U.S. Thanks for joining us today, Harold.
Thank you, Jerry. I'm pleased to be here.
I'm also very happy to welcome Dimitri Daskalakis, CDC's Director of the Division of HIV/AIDS Prevention.
Hi there. Great to be here. Thanks for having both of us today.
Yes, of course. Let's start with understanding where we are right now. What is the state of HIV in America today?
Well, there are over 1 million people living with HIV in the U.S. today. Many of them are in treatment and care programs, but about 1 out of every 7 people with HIV don't know they have it. There are a little more than 36,000 new diagnoses each year. But we know that HIV diagnoses aren't evenly distributed across all states and regions. So what we do know is that some people in places in America are disproportionately impacted by HIV more than others, which is why the work that we're doing to end the HIV epidemic in the U.S., that initiative, is really critical.
Thanks, Dimitri. Now, Harold, what is the Ending the HIV Epidemic initiative? What is that all about?
Sure, Jerry. It's an initiative that set the goal of reducing new HIV transmission by focusing our HIV efforts, both prevention and care, and additional federal resources on communities most impacted by HIV. So there are 57 geographic areas across the United States that include 48 counties, Washington, D.C., and San Juan, Puerto Rico, that have the highest rates of new HIV diagnosis in our country. And there are an additional 7 states with a great number of HIV cases that occur in rural areas. So the strategy of the initiative is to focus on these areas where there are the majority of the diagnosis. And so with those cases, we want to diagnose new cases early, treat people rapidly and effectively, and prevent new HIV transmissions and respond quickly to new HIV outbreaks when they happen in our country.
Why is the HIV epidemic uneven in this country? Why are some areas more impacted than others?
But I think that the answer really boils down to the same reason that we are seeing variability in what's happening with COVID-19. So those of us who do public health every day call the inequities that are built into the system health disparities. And what that means is that some people are more impacted by certain health conditions than others. And I think that for those who've been working in HIV for 10, 20, 30, 40 years, what we've seen with COVID is not surprising because it's so similar to the experience with this epidemic. A lot of the health disparities that we see are caused by access problems, so problems getting access to quality healthcare, lack of testing, and care services close to where you live, and also care services and testing services that are really responsive to culture and your experience. This also is driven by at least some lack of trust in the medical community. And it's really augmented and really the base issues tend to be things like what we call the social determinants of health. And number one among those are racial injustice, and then additionally, a lack of affordable housing, again, uneven access to high quality education, it's really all the isms, like the sexism, homophobia, transphobia, all of those things feed in to create systems that make it difficult for people to connect to the services that we know protect them from HIV, as well as keep them healthy if they are diagnosed with HIV.
Yeah, like Dimitri said, the data shows us where these health disparities are. And we as the federal government have made a commitment to focus our efforts and our resources on the populations and communities that need it most. So, for example, we know that people that live in the South, African Americans, Latinx, Native Americans, and individuals living in rural communities are all disproportionately impacted by HIV as a result of some of the isms and the lack of access to high-quality health care, some of the housing insecurity, transportation, racial injustice, all those factors that Dimitri talked about, those disproportionately impact the communities impacted by HIV. So to end our HIV epidemic, we need to ensure that all Americans have equal access to the strategies we know work for HIV prevention, treatment, and care, including some new tools we have in our toolbox for preventing new diagnoses of HIV.
All right, we are speaking to Harold Phillips, Senior HIV Advisor and Chief Operating Officer of Ending the HIV Epidemic in the U.S., and Dimitri Daskalakis, CDC Director of the Division of HIV/AIDS Prevention. Following up on that question, what about people who are not living in one of those focus areas? What would you say, what would your message be to them to let them know that help is still on the way?
So, no matter who you are, no matter where you live, it's important to get an HIV test and know your HIV status. And we've expanded HIV testing options so many people have access to an HIV test when they need one. So I advise that everyone get an HIV test regularly if you're sexually active or using substances, not only if you think you've been exposed to HIV, but getting that routine test should be a normal part of your routine healthcare visit.
Right. And that's a message that I share a lot as a radio host. Testing is so important. We pass that message along on Pride Radio all the time. But we realize, too, for a lot of people, that might not be that simple because there's a lot of people who still have that stigma around getting tested. For example, if you get an HIV test, that means you could be sexually promiscuous. Like, what would you do then? But let alone, the positive diagnosis and then the stress that can bring. But a lot of people also don't have a consistent healthcare provider. So what do you say to those folks who are dealing with those stresses in their lives?
I'll start by saying that the only HIV test to be afraid of is the one that you've never had. Because really, HIV testing, whether the answer is negative or positive, ends up being this great moment of health creation, where you're able to actually take control of your health and either connect to prevention or to prevent the care. So I think that when we think about things that are routine, HIV testing, we've worked so hard and will continue to work so hard to make sure that it is just a part of the fabric of care. I mean, an example is, there's the stigma of overeating. I'll give that example. Like, people don't go, I don't want a diabetes test because I'm fearful that someone's going to say that I'm somehow like overeating. So I think that as we make the test more routine, as it becomes a standard part of care, that stigma dissolves. But I really want to say again that the only scary test is the one that you don't have, because you can't act on information that you don't have. And with that, I'll also say that we made some really huge strides in making testing more accessible to people. And the we I mean is not just CDC and HHS, but really all of us in the U.S. and the care systems, et cetera. And so beyond just going to the doctor or the healthcare provider to get a test, there's also home testing, which is available from your local pharmacy for purchase over the counter. But also, I'm going to plug something. You can go to takemehome.org, again, takemehome.org, and order your own self-test to come to your home. So if you're worried about people judging you for getting tested, there's so many ways to do it. And if you have that information, you can act on it, and it makes a world of difference in your personal health.
Yeah, Dimitri, and I think, you've done a lot of work as well to try to encourage everyone to know their status, get an HIV test, and be linked to either care or to link to prevention services. And another important prevention tool is PrEP. And PrEP is short for pre-exposure prophylaxis, a daily pill that reduces the risk of getting HIV from sex or injection drug use. And at HHS, we have the Ready, Set, PrEP program, which provides free PrEP for those without health insurance and those who qualify. So I would also encourage anyone who may be interested in learning more about getting PrEP for free to go to getyourprep.com or to call 855-447-8410. And Jerry, thank you for writing this message about the importance of testing on iHeartRadio too.
Oh,
really appreciate it.
You're very welcome. Absolutely. Because we know how important it is and people just need to know their status. We're speaking with Harold Phillips, Senior HIV Advisor and Chief Operating Officer of Ending the HIV Epidemic in the U.S., and Dimitri Daskalakis, CDC Director of the Division of HIV AIDS Prevention. It brings me to another question that I've been pondering, too, with this current COVID-19 pandemic that's still going on. Have you seen testing for HIV go down, stay about the same, or are you worried that people have forgotten to get an HIV test because they're more concerned about COVID-19 right now?
So I think, you know, we're still really looking closely at what's happening from the perspective of testing as healthcare opens up more, and so many systems have already been built in healthcare to make sure that testing is part of the fabric. I think, you know, we're looking really closely at CDC to see what the impact is of COVID-19, not only on HIV, but other things that we test for routinely, such as STIs. And so we're learning more as we go. But again, the hope is that as the pandemic comes under control and folks are more comfortable going into bricks and mortar and the shift goes back to sort of standard healthcare as opposed to just COVID-related care, that there will be a recovery in terms of what we are seeing from the perspective of testing uptake. Harold, I'm not sure if you have anything to add.
Yeah, I might add a little bit in that we do know that, you know, when we were going through social distancing, that a lot of our clinics stopped services. And we also had a significant number of the healthcare workforce that were diverted to assist with COVID-19 and addressing the pandemic. But CDC and many public health departments also made HIV self-testing available. So self-testing kits where individuals could test and get their results and then be linked to either prevention or care. So things are coming back online, like Dimitri said, and we really still encourage everyone to get an HIV test, get an STI test, especially as we move toward June and Pride and returning to or establishing a new normal post-COVID.
Dr. Dimitri, let me ask you, do you think we'll see a drop in HIV infections because of the lockdowns that occurred, or do you think it's not significant enough to even think about a drop in infections?
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
I think that we're going to have to follow the data closely, but I also think that that you know, one's perception of lockdown may not mean that folks weren't sexually active and not using drugs. So I think we'll really have to see how it plays out. So I think there are, you know, some places that have data that show that, for instance, STIs during the COVID lockdown time actually went down, but then they sprung right back up. So I think that that it's really about getting people back to testing first so we can better assess what the impact was of both the lockdown and any other interruptions in care and service.
All right, thank you. June 5th is the 40th anniversary of the very first Morbidity and Mortality Weekly Report on AIDS from the CDC. With 40 years having gone by in the HIV epidemic, and, you know, clearly we have a long way to still to go, with June also being Pride Month, there's a lot to be proud of, and including the progress that we've made through those last 40 years. Harold, let me start with you. What does Pride mean to you?
Sure. Well, for me, Jerry, as a Black gay man living, who lived through the early days of the HIV epidemic in this country, I agree we've made a lot of progress. And today we have a lot of what we call long-term HIV survivors, which is what we call individuals who have lived with HIV for decades. And that's something we didn't think would ever be possible at the beginning of this epidemic. And we want to thank all of the healthcare workers, the medical researchers, the clinical trial participants who helped make this progress possible. But we also need to thank the long-term survivors specifically. They live that experience. They bring to the HIV community. They advocate on behalf of the community. They hold the government, and government officials like me, accountable for our programs and our funding. And it's really something to be honored, cherished, and recognized. But because of the COVID-19 pandemic, I'm still hoping I can be dancing in Washington, D.C. on Pennsylvania Avenue for Pride. If not this year, then definitely next year. That day of being able to do that is coming soon. And I want everybody to be ready when the time comes. And I want us all to be able to be together safely, hugging, holding hands, dancing in the streets. And so I urge everyone to get fully vaccinated with the COVID-19 vaccine, take an HIV test, and stay connected to care, whether it's HIV prevention or HIV treatment, and be ready to dance with me and everybody else around the country as we honor how far we've come over these last 40 years.
Oh, well, Harold, I echo your statement there about being able to dance on Pennsylvania Avenue for sure. I think we'll get there. It won't be this year because I am also in charge of entertainment for Capital Pride. And all the restrictions were released a little too late for us to plan anything big. I know. But the good news is we do have some big, exciting things in the works. And there are some events that have been announced as well. So definitely check your and for people who are listening across the country, not just here in D.C., there are people or there are Pride organizations holding in-person events that are big and are huge. I hear Chicago's got something planned pretty nice as well.
I just want to add to that. I want to add to the voice of I would love to be dancing with you all in every city. So I get to look forward to double Pride with the time in New York City and also my new home, Atlanta. Atlanta Pride is in October,
yep.
So I think I got a fighting chance, which is really good news. So I just wanted to echo everything that Harold said. And I also just feel like I want to echo the idea that so much of the folks who've been so critical in the fight against HIV were also critical in the fight for COVID. So when you get your COVID vaccine, and everyone should get their COVID vaccine, like, there should be a moment of pride that really comes partially from the work that was developed because of HIV and all of the progress we've made in 40 years from the perspective of research, from the perspective of advocacy. So, like, for me this year, Pride is going to not only mean, my desire to dance with you and Harold, which is there, but also the fact that I am so proud that our community's resilience really brought us to a place where we have shown that one pandemic can change the next pandemic, and efficiency at which we've gotten to a point where vaccines can lead to masks being removed and social distancing being loosened is a miracle. So I am proud of that miracle.
Yeah, and speaking of miracles, I do want to ask, because we're with all this talk about a COVID vaccine and how important it is for everyone to get that COVID vaccine, of course, the conversation when we're talking about HIV and AIDS may also make people wonder, well, is there anything on the horizon for an HIV vaccine? And I know some work has been reported on recently using the same mRNA technology that both the Moderna and Pfizer COVID vaccines use. Are you excited about that prospect?
Me too. But I want to echo the something that Harold said already, which is that we have a lot of tools in our toolkit now that allow us to better control the HIV epidemic. So while we're waiting to celebrate a HIV vaccine in the future, treatment and PrEP and testing work. So really getting folks sort of into that that here and now. So we have like more time to celebrate the bright future of when we do have a preventative vaccine for HIV is critical.
Yeah. And we're still, searching, and the researchers are still working on an HIV vaccine. You know, the creation of the COVID vaccine, I think, like Dimitri talked about, you know, it was the years of HIV vaccine research that helped us quickly pivot and develop the vaccine for COVID-19. But in developing that vaccine, there's also some learning and some growth that's happening among our researchers that are going to help us as we continue to search for an HIV vaccine. But even without that vaccine and without that cure, we've still got tools that can help prevent HIV and also keep those living with HIV healthy so that they don't pass HIV on to their sexual or drug-using partners.
Right. So once again, we're speaking with Harold Phillips, Senior HIV Advisor and Chief Operating Officer of Ending the HIV Epidemic in the U.S., and Dimitri Daskalakis, CDC Director of the Division of HIV/AIDS Prevention. I noticed on the calendar here, coming up June 27th is National HIV Testing Day. So I just want to circle back for a moment because of what you just said, Harold, and, you know, tell us why it's so important that people know their status.
Wow, knowing your status really and truly gives you the power to make choices about your individual health. We have so many tools and ways to prevent HIV that knowing your status and if you're negative and being linked to those prevention options are really important and can keep you healthy. If you test and you are positive, getting into care, treatment, starting on what we call antiretroviral medication, and taking those medications properly and continuously taking them will help you both have better health, live a long and healthy life, and also prevent you from transmitting HIV to others. So knowing your status is key and important and should be just part of your routine if you are having sex regularly or using substances.
All right. And Dr. Dimitri, as you are with the CDC, I wanted to circle back one more time, too, to that first Morbidity and Mortality Weekly report on AIDS 40 years ago. Why was that so important?
I think that's a great question. I mean, I think from the perspective of history, looking backward, thinking about how some unexplained pneumonias in gay men led to years later the identification of a virus and then years later to treatment. It was the beginning of a trajectory of taking HIV from something unknown to something that is a chronic, manageable, and thank goodness, preventable disease. So I think that it's just such an important milestone in the HIV story that within 40 years we went from, I have no idea what this disease is, to really like a strategy where we have, you know, Harold and myself on the phone here with you or in this interview with you, like actually saying like we can control this epidemic to a place where we can say that we can end HIV in the U.S. So it is the milestone moment of how it all began. And again, I think to reflect backward in COVID, think about the fact that it was December, January, that we heard about some pneumonias in people that were unexplained, and now in not very much time, we have a preventable disease. Like, it's just an awe-inspiring moment to look at those two in parallel.
Yes, and I have to say thank you to everybody that has worked so hard to get us to where we are today, both with the HIV epidemic and, of course, the COVID-19 pandemic. The work has been amazing, and it's interesting to see how the two intertwine, and one may eventually help the other to get HIV completely eradicated and on the way out as well. Harold, you mentioned before the importance of PrEP because that is the first step in preventing HIV infection. Can you give us that information one more time?
Sure. So to check out our website, go to getyourprep.com or you call our number at 855-447-8410, and you can actually speak to someone and they can walk you through the enrollment process. But there's also, like I said, the website, which is getyourprep.com, and there's more information there about the program, and also it can help link you to other prevention resources too. If you decide PrEP is not for you, but like because, like I said, we have so many ways to different, protect ourselves these days and still enjoy a healthy, robust sex life.
Right, right. Protection is first and foremost. You protect yourself, you protect others. I think that is a really strong lesson that we've all learned over the last just year and a half with COVID alone, but it's so applicable to the HIV/AIDS epidemic here in the United States. Harold and Dimitri, thank you so much for the work that you're doing to end the HIV epidemic in this country. It's so important.
Thank you very much, and thanks for helping spread the word. Happy Pride Month.
Thank you. Thank you, thank you, and happy Pride Month. Harold, great hearing your voice, and thanks for having us both together.
Dimitri, October, Atlanta, dancing in the street.
I know. The dance is ours. I'm ready.
All right.
That is fantastic. Yes, thank you again. Happy Pride. My name is Jerry Houston from Pride Radio and iHeartRadio. Thanks again for tuning in and learning a little bit about the HIV epidemic today. Take this message that you've gotten and pass it on. Thank you so much for listening.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.